Thank you, Bill. Our choir, orchestra, and our praise band will be in one service on February 26th. We'll have a combined service. We've got a big praise service planned for you with them providing our music on February 26th. So I'm excited. They had their first meeting yesterday, and they all came out of there really, really charged up. So I said, can you imagine a revival starting in the music department throughout the rest of the church? I can't imagine that. But anyway, remember last week we started on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. The title of the message was Christ or Antichrist, who is next? Some people think we're living through the Great Tribulation. That's not true. Who's coming next? The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. So what I want you to do is turn to Revelation 3, and I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 12 tonight. And what we're going to study is the coming and the going of the Antichrist. You don't need to turn here yet, but 1 John 2:18 says, Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. The Antichrist has not come, but the spirit of the Antichrist is here. When did the spirit of the Antichrist come? When Lucifer was defeated and thrown out of heaven, that's when the spirit of Antichrist came to this earth. Satan's Messiah is going to come, though. People who've rejected Christ will receive Satan himself, and Satan conjures up a man who bears all the characteristics of Satan. He's the visible expression of the invisible devil. So let's look at the Antichrist, the person, in Revelation chapter 13. I'm sorry, we're going to look at Revelation 3. Go to Revelation 13, chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. The Antichrist, the person. I stood upon the sand, John said, of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat and great authority. Now I want you to hold it right there in Revelation 13 and go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 7 to the end of the chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Verse 11 is interesting. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. And notice he says here, I stood upon the sand of the sea. The sand of the sea there represents masses of humanity. It represents nations of the world. Some people feel that this means the Antichrist is going to be a Gentile and not a Jew. Other people make a case that the Antichrist is going to be a Jew and not a Gentile. We have absolutely no idea the answer to that question, which one he'll be. But one thing is clear when you look at Revelation 13, it says, out of the raging sea, the beast came forth. It's not unusual that out of chaos and turmoil, revolution, rebellion, there will come a world leader. Now think about this quickly. When we had John the Baptist, then remember that Herod Antipas came along. And then when we had Paul, we had the ruler, the evil ruler, Nero. And then when Jesus comes along, later on we have the Antichrist. So notice, then comes the great beast out of the sea. And that beast is the Antichrist. He is a human being in whom Satan is going to be incarnate himself in that last great day. The Antichrist is going to be the full expression of Satan in a human being. What does Satan always do? He tries to do what? Copy the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the lawless one's going to be turned loose on this earth. Now, when is that going to happen? Some people say at the rapture, and we begin the 7 years of tribulation. Some people think, bam, that's when the Antichrist is going to take over here on this earth. And remember, we're what? We're out of here. We're looking for Jesus. We're not looking for the Antichrist. And then some people think halfway through, 3.5 years into that tribulation, that's when the Antichrist is going to rear his head. So there's a lot of debate about that. Now notice here very carefully, when Jesus comes in his second coming after the what? After the great tribulation, Jesus is going to defeat Christ what? With the breath from his mouth, which is what? The battle of Armageddon. Now notice here, it says he saw this creature come out of the sea. And he says here he has 10 horns. That represents authority. Then he has 7 heads. That represents wisdom. It says he has 10 diadems on his horn. Those are crowns. That represents the Antichrist's earthly kingdom. And then they're blasphemous names on his head. Some say that this is a prediction also of a revived Roman Empire. This Antichrist is going to rule over a political system that will begin as a revived Roman Empire. And as I studied this, many Bible scholars believe that that has already begun, the seeds of it, with the forming of the European Union. Some think that's already a fulfillment of Scripture now. Let's look at the power. We see the person of the Antichrist. He's going to be Satan incarnate. But let's look at the power of the Antichrist in Revelation 13, verse 3 through 5. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Well, 42 months would be how long? 3.5 years. With this power, Satan tries to pattern himself after Jesus. Look at verse 3. John saw a resurrection as it appears. One of those heads that appeared was slain and then was healed. You know, for 2,000 years, heading up to this time, or longer than that, maybe, we don't know when Jesus is going to come back, worldly people, the people we live with here on this earth, many people doubt the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It appears that Satan's going to give a counterfeit and try to imitate the resurrection, and people are going to believe it. Now, when the rapture comes, it disrupts everything because you got millions of people who are going to be gone just like that. And if we're alive when he comes, we're born again, we're going to be caught up as well. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how long you have between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation. But we know that this is going to happen. Now, the Antichrist is going to be an attractive person. He's going to have a winsome personality. And some have said that he's going to be a person of exceptional wisdom, knowledge, and he is going to be a great orator. When he speaks, everybody believes every word that he says. And you find right here, it says, who is able to make war against him? He's going to be a talented, attractive individual. Then in Revelation 13, 4, people worship the dragon because he's given authority to the beast, and they also worship the beast and ask, who is like the beast? So they worship the dragon, but they won't worship God. So they worship the dragon who gave power to the beast, and they worship the beast. And this is not the first time nations have worshiped rulers. We also see his deceptive words. It says here, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. If you go to the book of Daniel, you'll see some passage in Daniel that indicate us that the Antichrist is going to be a brilliant conversationalist. He's just a scintillating person. And the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So it's possible for people by means of language, oratory, by means of speech, to deceive people and cause them to follow them. And that's exactly what he's doing. You know what's a great contrast? Here we live, born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's the same Holy Spirit that what? Brought Jesus forth from the grave. And we don't use that power. We don't employ it like we ought to. But here in the 7 years in the Great Tribulation, we see that Satan is endued with power, and he is using it to the max. Notice the purpose of the Antichrist in Revelation 13, verse 6 through 10. It opens its mouth. I like the way the scripture refers to it. It opens its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they'll go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. And mark this down, the Antichrist is profane in his nature. He is blasphemous. He blasphemes God. He defies God. That's the essence of who Satan is. You'll see a description of that if you read Isaiah chapter 14 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Those books reveal that Satan's desire is to go to the very throne of God, and he wants to take over and be seated on the throne of God to rule and reign throughout eternity. So he's going to curse everything God stands for. His name, his tabernacle, his saints. He's a blasphemous individual. His purpose is simply this. He wants to defy God. Everything related to God is going to come under his attack. Satan is powerless now. He's just a name caller. But he can't do anything that attacks permanently the things of God. We see people blaspheme against Christ. I don't know about you. I can be at a sporting event, and there are guys all around me taking God's name in vain. I just don't appreciate that. I can stand in line at a store and hear people carrying on a conversation. I'm not trying to eavesdrop. They're taking God's name in vain. Christ is slandered in our generation with the utmost disregard. But notice the war with the saints during this time. Verse 7, it was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. Now what we're talking about there are the tribulation saints. It's that redeemed remnant out of Israel and those who might have been saved by a witness we're going to talk about in just a moment. He persecuted them even to death. Notice the authority over people in verse 7b. He was given authority during the tribulation time. It says over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Now let me ask you something. Why does God allow this? I have no idea. Why does God allow Satan to be loose in our society, in our time? I have no idea. We're not given an answer in the Word of God. He is going to achieve his goal of unifying nations against God. He's going to dazzle some. He's going to browbeat others and solidify the whole world order with the cement of every evil passion. And notice he's going to have a following in Revelation 13, verse 8. All, look at this. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. Now here's the caveat. All whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. On that day, anybody not persecuted by Satan will worship him. Only men who will not worship are the ones recorded in the Lamb's book of life. They are the redeemed remnant out of Israel. And we'll talk about those in just a moment quickly. When a person dies without experiencing salvation, without trusting Jesus as their Savior, their name is, listen, those people in eternity, those names not found in the Lamb's book of life, what's going to happen to them? They're going to hell. Now, everybody's name's written in the book of life, every person that's ever been born. So there's two books in heaven, the book of life, but then there's the Lamb's book of life. And I want you to know there are no erasures in the Lamb's book of life. A person's name written in the Lamb's book of life because he asked Jesus in his heart to save him. So if we receive Jesus, the recording angel records our names in the Lamb's book of life and can never be blotted out. Now, notice what's prohibited to continue in Revelation 13, verse 9 and 10. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone goes into captivity they go. If anyone's to be killed with a sword, with a sword they'll be killed. So there's a limit, and there's a limit then to what Satan can do. He's prohibited from touching the people of God. Listen to me carefully. He can torture and cause the death of the tribulation saints, but he can never destroy their soul. Now, all during the Great Tribulation, from chapter 6 on in Revelation, you'll notice a little phrase that keeps coming up. It says, whosoever has ears, let them hear. So the only requirement you got reading this is if you got ears. Everybody here looks to me like they got ears. He who has ears, let him hear. But I want to show you something else. We're talking about chapter 6 and following, and we're over to 13, talking about great tribulation. He who has ears, he who has ears, he who has ears, let him hear. Talking about the great tribulation. But if you go back to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, what do we study there? It's the message to the churches. And the last church, the seventh church, is what? The church of Laodicea, the age of grace. We're in a Laodicean age right now. But when you read about those seven churches, what does John always say, inspired by God? He that has an ear, let him hear. But we go from Revelation 6 and on forward through 13, and guess what we never find? We never find the churches mentioned. Only in chapters 2 and 3, he that has an ear, let him hear. So what did I say last week? We saw another text. Where are we going to be when the rapture takes place? We're going to be with the Lord. There's so many Bible teachers that share that they think that we are going to go through the 7 years of the tribulation. That's absolutely false. We're going to be with the Lord, And the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, is going to be taking place. We'll go one-on-one before the Lord. Our salvation was settled down here when we were born again. We trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, trusted in the blood and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But down here, everything's going to break loose, all evil. So in Revelation 13, 9, there he is. We see what's missing. The church is not in the 7 years of the tribulation here on this earth. So what about those who missed the rapture? Let me back up real quick here. How in the world did some of the people on earth get saved? How'd they get saved down here during the time of the tribulation? So what about those who miss the rapture? What happens to people, say if Jesus came in the morning and we were taken up to be with the Lord, what about those who are not saved, who have been left behind? Two things here. The Bible indicates this in the book of Revelation. Millions and millions and millions of people are going to get saved during the tribulation time here on this earth. Who do we know that's going to get saved? 12,000 out of what? Every tribe of Israel. That's the 144,000. But there are going to be lots more that are going to get saved because God's going to send two witnesses. That's what we're told in the book of Revelation. Now, who are the two witnesses? Well, I invite you to go read all the commentaries you want. Some of them say that Moses is going to be sent back here to the earth because he stood up to Pharaoh and he was given the law and God used him to perform many miracles and signs. And some say Moses is coming and his partner is going to be Elijah and they're going to share the gospel because Elijah symbolizes the prophets. And they say, well, Moses and Elijah are going to come back and share the gospel down here on earth during the 7 years of the tribulation. Go read another commentary, and here's what they say. It's going to be Enoch, who never died, who's going to be sent back down here to share the gospel. And Elijah is going to be his partner because those guys never died. What happened to them? They were just gone. That's three big time witnesses there talking about them coming in pairs. They're going to be preaching the truth and calling men to repentance and people are going to get saved. Now here's what I like. Whoever these witnesses are, says in Revelation that when people come up to try to persecute them and criticize them, when they open their mouth, fire comes out and destroys their critics. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, next time people tell me I got preacher breath, I'm just going to tell them there may be some fire coming out of there pretty soon. And the Antichrist, listen, the Antichrist is going to be able to overcome them. And they're killed. And these two witnesses are laid out in the street. And I want you to know all the Antichrist followers, they're as excited as we are at Christmas time. The people are exchanging gifts with each other. They're blaspheming the name of God. And guess what happens? They're left to lie in the street to show the dominance of Satan. And you know what happens 3 days later? Jesus does what? He raises these two from the dead. And guess what? They're raptured. You reckon anybody returned their presents to Amazon to get a refund? Because the party is over. He takes them to heaven. Here's what it says. Great fear fell upon all those who saw these things. I hope the Lord Jesus Christ lets that happen right outside the CNN studios in Atlanta. But here's the thing, while millions come to faith in Christ, especially the Jews, those who heard before the rapture and didn't respond, they're going to believe the lie. Let me say that again to you. What did I say? Jesus comes. There are millions of people left behind because they never trusted Christ. I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Listen, while millions come to faith in Christ during the tribulation, especially Jews, those who heard before the rapture and didn't respond, they're going to believe the lie. Look at verse 9 in 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm just about to land the plane right here, Rick. It says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. That is, the one who's coming is in accordance with the activity of Satan, with all power, signs, and wonders, with all description of wickedness. And notice the word perish in here. For those who perish, that means those who are going to die and go to hell. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, those who heard the gospel and didn't accept Jesus, and then the rapture takes place and they're in the tribulation, the Bible says, look at this, verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 2. They ignored the gospel, and for this reason, because they didn't respond to the love of the truth so as to be saved, God will send upon them a deluding influence. Whoa. This is God. God's supposed to be drawing us to himself, but now God's sending a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false. You rejected me. You heard the gospel before the rapture took place. Now you're in the 7 years of the tribulation. I will send a deluding influence upon you. And God gets them to believe what is false. That just don't sound like God, does it? Whosoever will, let him come, is what we say. Why is he doing this? In order that they might be judged. Now, why would God want anybody to be judged? He says, who did not believe in the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Wow. Now, I've taken courses in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I've never even noticed that. Today, you might witness to somebody here, and you make it simple. You share your testimony, maybe the Romans Road, and they say, well, you know, I can't believe that because I got intellectual problems with it. You don't have an intellectual problem. You got a sin problem. And the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Bible says, men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. Jesus, the light of the world, comes into the world. I'm not here to make you sick tonight. I just want to use a quick illustration. What happens if you turn on a light in a room and there's certain kinds of insects in there? And I'm thankful we just don't have that problem at our house, hardly ever. What happens when you turn on a light in a room? Pitch black dark, you turn on, what happens? Boy, they're running for the darkness, aren't they? Boy, this happened to me Sunday. I was going around welcoming guests in the Family Life Center. Listen, we exterminate here regularly. And I went over to speak to some people, and man, one of those bugs. Right there before the service started. I thought, what you going to do? And it was about an 8-year-old boy. He came out, he went. And I said, could you clean that up? Yes, sir. He went over to the coffee bar and got him a napkin. Came back over, ran by and scooped him up like he would never happen. Put him in the trash can. I've never been so glad to see that boy. But how embarrassing it is when you're trying to get people to come to church. And there's not much light over there to start with. You'd think the bugs would feel comfortable and stay out all the time. But when the lights were turned up a little bit, here he comes. That's the way lost people are. When the light shined on them, if they want to reject Jesus, they want to what? Live in the darkness. So Jesus says, if you've heard the gospel, you rejected it before the rapture. The rapture takes place. You're going through the great tribulation. You cannot be saved. There'll be a delusion on you to believe the false teaching. If you're here tonight, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you better hope the rapture don't hit before you say yes. He says, repent therefore and return to believers so that your sins may be given and all the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I was in a meeting all day Monday, a pastor's meeting, and part of it broke my heart. It was, there were three Georgia Baptist Convention employees teaching about 20 of us pastors. Two-thirds of our churches didn't baptize anybody in 2020. That's 3,400 churches. Let me break that down for you. That means even the pastors of two-thirds of our Georgia Baptist churches didn't win one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what else they revealed to us? They've completed the research. Through 2022, church attendance across the state of Georgia is down 45% since COVID hit. Are we ready for the rapture? We ought to be found doing when Jesus comes again. And I don't know about you, this text here makes you want to cry if you got a heart at all. Because I don't want to see anybody go to hell. So we need to be diligent about sharing the gospel so that people don't die on this side of the rapture and experience hell for eternity. And especially if they hear the gospel and don't get saved, they're not going to be saved during the great tribulation. I think hell is the greatest tragedy known to the human race. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for sharing this with us. Help us be very vigilant about the way we live for you and realize that our time on this earth, whether it be our rapture or your appointment for us with death, is coming quicker than we think. And so we live every day with the prayer, come Lord Jesus, but also help us max the time we have to live for the one who died for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good night.